Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about affairs. We're talking about what types of affairs you can have and what kind of affairs people actually partake in. You know, I think it's interesting because a lot of people like to lump every affair under the word affair. Like there's no difference. Like there's no other reason why people have affairs. Like it's all one thing, all lumped up together in one word. And I disagree because I don't think that every affair is simply an affair. I think that every affair has a different category, and I think there are four main types of affairs that people have, four different affair categories, you might say, that we need to sit there and think about, because when we're talking about affairs and we wonder why people have affairs and we get into the nitty-gritty of it all, we have to honestly understand the different types of affairs, what comes with each one, how each one begins, how they usually end, and why that is. Because I think each affair has certain characteristics that are personal to itself. And I want to explore that tonight with you. Because I think that we always have this mystery, this veil, you might say, that covers the idea of where we're coming from, or why an affair exists, or why this is that, or why people act this way. But that's because there's four specific different categories. You know, the first one I like to talk about tonight is the it's only sex affair. You know, I think this one's interesting because it begins with being based only on sex. You know, think about it. An affair that's purely sex, no more, no less, and that's the basis of this affair. Now, let's talk about this a little bit more because I think it's interesting. When people base a relationship of any sort on one thing, what happens? Think about it. Does it stay that way? Does it change? Does it morph? Does it seem to pick up speed and add different categories and molecular structures to it based upon the fact of this original want, this original desire called sex? You know, and I think it's interesting because a lot of people get into affairs that it's only sex-driven, but things change. How do they change? Well, they change because sometimes one person ends up wanting more than sex. One person decides that they start liking this other person. Because in the beginning, an only sex affair is based on two people seeing each other as objects. They objectify each other. That's it. This person serves a purpose. And this is why we're here together. And other than that, there's no other reason to be around this person. However, that usually does change. I know that I've talked about this on past shows, and if you want to listen to past shows, you could go to Spreaker or iTunes, or just go to AshleyBurgess.com and listen to the last 250 shows. But I know I've talked about this when it comes to men and affairs. Men who have an affair, usually it's not until the third or fourth time in bed that they start having a little bit of an emotional tie. Now, the opposite exists for women. Women usually, there's only a few small 1% of women out there that can have sex and have no emotional ties whatsoever. And there's some people out there I know right now going, well, that's not true for me. Well, let's be honest. I'm talking about conscious and subconscious ties. I'm not just talking about what you're allowing yourself to see. But I'm also predicting the fact that there's some things that you have compartmentalized. But most women have emotional ties when they have sex. It's just the way it is. And for all those men listening tonight, if you don't know this by now, then know it. Because the last thing you want to be doing is having sex for sex's sake with somebody that's not in a relationship, not married, and somebody that might come back at you and want to have a full-on relationship. It takes two different people to tango with the sex-only affair. And one thing is that one person's always going to get hurt. For the most part, there's a 1% chance, an outside chance, that you could be those people that can have sex with somebody for years on end, an only sex affair, and it works. But it's rare. And the reason why it's rare is because people develop emotional attachments. As well as you have to understand, where is each person coming from? What is their lifestyle? What are they doing? So let's come up with a couple of examples here to put it all in perspective. It's an only sex affair. So this is our category one. Female and male meet each other at work. Okay. They meet each other at work. They connect immediately and they're immediately having sex. What happens? That can continue a little bit, but eventually one person's going to probably want more. The only way that something like that could work is if both people were in a relationship where they were happy together with somebody else. Because eventually, if one person's in a relationship and the other person's not, and they're both having this affair together, this sex-only affair, something's going to give. One person's going to feel used and duped because they're not with that other person. It's just the way life is that when you're having sex with somebody, especially females, when they're having sex with somebody, they want to know where that person is. They want to know what that person's doing. They want to have a tab on them. They want to have a finger on the pulse type thing, you might say. Men are a little normally different. They can compartmentalize a little more, have a little more action in the scene, be able to dissolve a situation pretty quick without having emotional strain. But women are a different breed. Women have a tendency of connecting immediately when sex is involved. It's hard not to for women because women, they feel, they're more emotionally in tune. I think men that are emotionally in tune, more emotionally in tune, have a tendency of having more emotions, feeling more. It's harder, more difficult for them to go outside of relationships and have just free-willing sex. I mean, you know, sex to me usually is strings attached. I mean, I just don't see how the sex-only affair can work, because that would mean that there is absolutely no strings attached. You go into it, you have sex, you leave. Does that ever work? Think about it. In your lifetime, have you ever had sex with somebody and there was no strings attached? Okay, so you're talking about possibly a one-night stand. Okay, so let's look at the one-night stand. That's definitely not an affair. One-night stand is a one-time thing. It happened. You got drunk at the company Christmas party and you ended up having sex with a guy in the mailroom. Think about it. But you know, on the flip side, an only sex affair begins with the fact that both people are looking outside of their relationships, or both people are looking, generally, single for sex. And if both people are single, that only sex affair could maybe turn into a possible relationship. Think about it. I have clients that come into my office all the time that go on Tinder to meet people. And I actually have three particular clients right now that are setting up their dates for marriage, and they met on Tinder. They met on Tinder based on a whole fact that they were just meeting to have sex. And that sex meeting turned into a relationship. Now, I'm not just telling you that Tinder is all about sex, but to me, if you're only swiping a certain direction based on how hot somebody is in a picture, I think that's based on sex appeal. I think you'd have to say that that's true. Because if you're looking at just one picture, not reading anything, and have no background on the person, you're judging a book by its specific one picture cover that may or may not be a good picture, that may or may not be recent, and you're making a decision based on your eyes and what you see. And to me, that almost sounds like a strip club. I mean, you know, when you go into a strip club, you don't sit there and look at the women and go, okay, hey, could I get a bio of everything that you've done in your life, your educational background, the things you like? Do you have any dogs? And what are their names? And what do you love to do? And what do you want to see for the world in general? Do you love world peace? Are you into that? I mean, really, give me the scoop on you. I want to know the scoop of Fantasia. Is that your real name? Think about it. I mean, when it's just for the sex, you're not thinking about all that stuff. But what eventually happens? If you start having feelings for that person, you want the backstory. You want more. You want to know more because guess what? You're more connected. You're more involved. You have more at stake. You know, it's interesting how things become, because I just don't think that in general anybody can have an only sex affair. The only thing that I've ever seen that worked is when there's two married people go outside of their marriage and they know someone and they meet and they have sex. But that's normally based on some sort of already acknowledged friendship. Usually the sex affair is based on the way that two people look coming together to have sex, and either that ends up ending quite soon, because normally these things started very quickly. They fizzle out as quickly as they started. I mean, think about it. When things enter your life very quickly, you have those people that are like movers and shakers, and Ashley, you got to do that. Ashley, you got to do that. Listen to me. And they're out just as fast as they came in. And that's the same for an all-sex affair. Usually, it has a shelf life. However, that can change if one person develops emotions. Now, let's say one person develops an emotional connection and the other person doesn't. So then the other person that doesn't tries to cut off the relationship, the sex affair. When they try to cut it off, the person that has developed some emotional ties starts feeling used and abused. Now, they either go back and attack and get angry, or the silent treatment, or they never speak to that person again. Another example, same only sex affair, but both people end up having some sort of emotional ties. They can either begin to grow the relationship and get to know each other from scratch because the only thing they know is about their bedtime situations. They only know about what they wear to bed and they know how they look naked, but they have no other idea of this person. So they have to get to know this person from the beginning to the end and decide if they like that person or not. They can be interesting. That can be an eye-opening experience. And sometimes you'll realize that you wish you just kept it sex only. But you know what? That's an option. Some people get married, have a one-night stand, and end up staying together and getting married. While other people, it's a terrible breakup. So I don't know if really a sex-only relationship could honestly work. I know people that have tried it. But I think we have to kind of look at different categories of affair and see what's up. Because I think it's a great idea in the beginning when people say, I just want to have an outlet. I just want to have sex. But is that honestly attainable? Can you have an affair and just have sex and being able to go home and let it go? I don't think so. I think our mind starts playing tricks on us. We start getting emotionally involved, or we want to end it because we get scared because maybe we have different emotions. When we return, we'll be talking about the other three categories of affairs and what you need to know about affairs tonight. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about the four different categories of affairs, what it means, what they mean, and what happens within all four. You know, we've been talking about the only sex affair, and I think that's a clever one because I don't know if it necessarily works, because it usually begins with both people looking for some action. You know, sometimes this relationship can work only for sex, but I think very rarely. I think ultimately one person may like the other person more. Someone may begin to have feelings, but sometimes this can work. You know, this affair of only sex often can work with two married people going outside of their marriage for sex. One big concern, however, both people must be happily married. I know I mean by happy that the marriage itself is wonderful. They're good friends. They love each other, they often have children, and they're missing out on one thing. I'm not condoning affairs right now, however. I want everybody to realize this. This is usually the only way that an affair can work without two people getting a divorce, however. But I rarely feel that the sex-only affair really ever lasts like that. I think that for the most part, it either turns into something or it fizzles out as fast as it started. I think that most sex-only affairs maybe last 3 to 5 times, 3 to 5 sexual encounters. I mean, I've heard from some of my clients that they can last for years. However, I don't think that's sex-only. There's more to that relationship. They're getting more emotional help and more emotional kind of inclusion to the sex. So let's talk about category 2, the second type of affair that you can have, revenge affair. The good old revenge affair. Good old devil's eye. You know, revenge affair is a very interesting thing. It's like, he did it, now it's my turn. And, you know, I know a lot of people listening tonight have either been in the position where they found out that their spouse was having an affair, and it can be quite painful. And in that situation, you want to get revenge. It's your time now, honey. Watch me now. It's my time to have an affair. And I've had clients that have come in here and their husband or their wife have cheated and they caught them. Usually they catch them cheating, and it's a very painful situation. And the spouse decides, usually they consciously make the decision. Like, they consciously think about going out and finding somebody to have sex with. And it's interesting because they are so angry and they hardly can see straight that they end up meeting somebody and they end up having sex with somebody. And the weird thing about this normal relationship is it doesn't just last for a couple of times. This tends to be an ongoing cycle. They literally either set up camp with this other person and it becomes like a 3, 5, 7 year long affair, or they go person to person, revenge sex all across the country. And it's interesting because they're like a woman scorn or a man scorn, and it becomes this issue. But the weird thing about revenge sex is one of your keys to realizing if your spouse is having revenge sex is usually that the spouse isn't having sex with you. Revenge sex is one of those things because they're so angry and they're so furious that they're willing to put it all on the line and they don't care. And I think if you know that your spouse is having revenge sex at this time, it's probably time to have a conversation to decide to see if this marriage is going to last. I've seen revenge sex in relationships too, non-marriage relationships, where they go out on purpose. I remember a long time ago when I was in college, and my boyfriend at the time, we were dating, and he was living with his ex-girlfriend. And I remember I went to dinner. He made dinner one night, and there was his ex-girlfriend was there, and this other girl was there. And his ex-girlfriend was like, yeah, we used to date. We don't anymore. We dated in high school. I'm now lesbian, and this is my lesbian lover. And I was like, okay. And, you know, he was my first real boyfriend. And I remember he was making dinner. He was making spaghetti and, like, chicken breast. And we're all sitting there having dinner. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, the girlfriend started talking to me a lot. And it ended up being this crazy connection and all this stuff. But she ended up coming by my house about a week later. And she told me, she's like, I'm so angry at Meredith. I'm so mad about this whole situation. You know, I want to have sex with you. And I said, well, I mean, I like that idea and all, but I'm kind of straight, you know? I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. But we ended up becoming very good friends about it. But I've realized that a lot of times in life, people get very angry with what somebody's done to them. And instead of confronting that person, they want to basically fight it out in bed with someone else. And, you know, it's interesting because revenge sex is one of those things that you hear about a lot on TV. You hear about it a lot on certain dramatic shows, like, you know, the husband and wife are married and then the husband ends up falling in love with the wife's sister and then they have this sordid love affair and then he gets her pregnant and then all heck breaks loose and the family finds out and then this huge, you know, drama of a divorce takes place and the family's broken apart at the seams. And, you know, you see that a lot on Jerry Springer. And then the man had sex with my sister. I couldn't believe this happened. But it's not only regulated to those situations. This happens in real life. People are having revenge sex as we speak because they don't want to step up to the plate and tell their spouse or tell their significant other what they think and how they feel. It almost like it gives them a chance to act out. I mean, on a low scale, not on the same scale. It's not the same equivalent, but it kind of reminds me of Halloween. Halloween gives good girls the ability to walk around like a slut. Okay, Halloween gives good girls that have a good reputation the chance to dress like a slut and act like a slut for one night. The same thing goes for revenge sex, I think, too. Because you got this revenge sex thing where they're so angry and they're so mad they can't even see straight that they decide that they're going to have sex with whoever comes around. And I think it's interesting. If you know anybody that's involved with revenge sex right now, you know that they're not really thinking that straight. They just want to get their just due. But it's funny how they seem to go way over the caliber. You know, I had a client that came in the other day and we talked about it. And I said, you know, the thing is that your husband had an affair. He had sex with a woman twice. And you're hanging out with this man 4 days a week. Not giving any attention to your husband. I mean, what's the reason for being married at this point? I mean, I think there comes a time when if you're having revenge on your spouse, it's time to step back and wonder and realize, is this a good marriage? Is this where I want to be at? I mean, even enemies normally don't take revenge on each other. Think about it. Revenge is a tough thing. I mean, sometimes in this situation, it's good to cut ties. The best thing to do is to communicate, to explain the situation, to get mad. You're allowed to get mad. You're allowed to say how you feel. I mean, in order to be authentic and truthful, you have to let other people know where you stand. And if you're hiding your emotions constantly and not being true to your emotions, not being true to your environment, not telling people how you feel and where you stand, that's not a good thing. That's not good for anybody. You're going to constantly not feel good, be in a bad mood, be upset. Your values, your life won't be actualized. You'll feel as though whatever you think doesn't matter. And there comes a time when somebody does something to you Let's say if somebody cheats on you, if your husband or your spouse or your wife cheats on you, or your girlfriend or boyfriend, step up to the plate and say how you feel. But I don't think revenge sex is it. I mean, I just don't think that revenge, any type of revenge, is a good thing. And I think that when you base sex on revenge, it's like basing like sex with guns. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, sex is supposed to be about something, at least about some sort of like positive type thing, not about getting back at someone. And I think that anytime you're trying to get back at somebody, you're going to hurt somebody in the process. Think about it. Think about it. Getting back at somebody, you're going to hurt that person in the process. So the person that you pick to have sex with is going to get hurt in the process. Because eventually you're going to break it off. Eventually something's going to happen with the situation you're in right now. And I'll tell you one thing that I've learned from my treatment sessions with my clients, and one thing that I've learned from just living as long as I've lived, is that when somebody's married and they've been married for a while and they go outside of the marriage for sexual help, for sexual emotion, for sex and for a relationship, when they go outside of the relationship, okay, usually in these situations, when somebody gets caught, it doesn't normally end well for the person that's having sex on the side with the married person. Usually the married person, if it gets caught and they end up getting a divorce or what have you, or they end up severing ties, usually that person's not going to get back with the person they were cheating with. And I can't really explain why, but I kind of can. Most people don't want to associate their future with screwed up stuff that they did in the past. If they feel any sort of remorse, or they feel that you or the person they had sex with led to any way of them leading to the divorce that they necessarily didn't want at that exact time, then you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. And so that's where a lot of people get really hurt, is because they're banking on this person to come with them. They're banking on this person to end up probably leaving their marriage. But the person might leave the marriage, but they're not going to leave it for them. And even if they do leave it for the person that they're having sex with on the side, you have to admit that if you are having sex with somebody behind their spouse's back, you have to wonder, how long is this going to last for you? Does this person look often? Do you happen to be the golden goose? Think about it. And I mean, and sometimes it works out perfectly. Sometimes you're it. You're the one. But I think there has to be more in the affair than meets the eye. And I definitely don't think that it begins with a sex-only affair. And I definitely know that it normally doesn't ever work for a revenge affair. Stay tuned. When we return, we'll be talking about the two other categories of affairs. And we're going to be talking about It's a Family Affair. Family Affair is coming up next. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the four different types of affairs. Interesting. You know, a lot of people think that affair is an affair is an affair. It's a dime a dozen. It's the same thing, but it's not true. There's four different specific categories, and we're talking about those tonight. Right before the break, we were talking about the second category, the revenge affair. And you know, like I say, there's really never any good revenge. I mean, when was the last time that you took part in revenge and it ended well? I think that the last thing you want to do is to incorporate sex and revenge together, because I think that there's going to be a sad assault. I think that the person that's involved that you have revenge and sex with will be the person that gets hurt. So let's talk about the third category of affairs. It's in the family affair. It's in the family. You have a family affair. And I know you sit there and you say, that is so Jerry Springer, Ashley. My God, I can't believe you're bringing that to Perspectives. But this is true. It happens all the time. How many people do you know? And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't come out and just tell you, oh yeah, I had sex with my wife's sister. Or I had sex with my husband's brother. I mean, yeah, I know we hear it all the time on talk shows, specific talk shows. And I know that. I get it. But there's got to be people that are having them. And I'm sure more than you think. I mean, think about it. You go to a family event. You see your wife's sister. She's looking really fine. Y'all are having a pool party. She's looking good. You start making little idle chit-chat, you know, having a little talk here and here there. You know, maybe little bits of drink here and there. Maybe one person gets a little flirty. A little flirty, you know, fanning up the skirt a little bit. And there's a little flirt going on and a little beer, a little alcohol being drank. And you know, next thing you know, you start getting a thought. You start thinking about your wife's sister. And you know that's not the right thing to do. You know that that's not right. You know that in the back of your head, that's not a good thing to do. But you do it anyway. We're human. It happens. I mean, heck, there are people that are having sex with their own relatives. I mean, on their own family, not on the married family. We're not going to talk about that tonight. Perspectives is above that, okay? We got to draw the line somewhere tonight. However, think about it. That happens a lot. I mean, I know some people that actually had sex with their husband's brother. And on top of that, they were twins. The brother and the husband were twins. That gives another touch to it. Gives another angle to it. So what makes it different? A family affair, that is. Well, I think it makes it a lot different. I mean, first of all, this relationship is doomed for honest and utter destruction. I mean, this has got to be the worst affair you possibly could have, because not only are you having an affair, but you're keeping it in the family. I mean, a dog knows that they don't want to poop in their own backyard, so they use the four corners of the yard, and they hope that mom and dad is nice enough to pick up the poo, because they don't want to walk in it. They don't want to track it in the house. Most dogs do not like the smell of their own poo. They don't want to walk in it. It's not something they like. Let's think about that in terms of our life. I mean, I know that we have friends that have a tendency of poo-pooing in their own yard. We have them. We all have that crazy friend that does the craziest stuff. I mean, you kind of laugh about it, but then you kind of go, ooh, you know, that's a little too close for home. You know, and you overhear these stories when everybody's had a little bit too much to drink, you know? I was hearing a story the other day with some friends. I can't name any names, point fingers, or name names, or point fingers, but I can say one thing. Everybody had a little bit too much to drink. And one of my friends was talking about an affair that they had. And it wasn't currently going on, supposedly. But it was a family friend. It was his wife's good friend. His wife's really good friend. They actually hang out together and play a sport together. Won't go into all that. And he was having sex with her. Having a relationship with her. Even when his wife was out of town, was having her over to the house. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? This is crazy. This is like Dallas, like the TV show material. Okay? I mean, you might as well have her dress up in your wife's clothing. I mean, this is some crazy talk here. And that's why I think family affairs are so insane, because you're actually having sex inside the family. I mean, think about it. Having sex with your wife's sister or your husband's brother. Oh my God. That has only got destruction written all over it. I mean, think about how angry and upset everybody's going to be. I don't care how much animal magnetism you have for Sally or for John. You got to get your head out of your butt. This is not a good idea, and it's definitely not a good look. I mean, you got to keep it together. Keep it together. Because I know that people find other people attractive, and I understand that that's part of life. That's part of where we're at. That's part of being human, as you look at other people and you go, well, yeah. But you don't have to try it on. I mean, there's a thing called window shopping. It's kind of effective. There's a thing called window shopping, and I know it's not always as fun, but I'll tell you, it's less drama. I mean, at least nobody's going to kick your butt for window shopping. At least nobody's going to get divorced with you over window shopping. Right? I mean, seriously, I mean, some people, the risks they take to get off, pardon my French, is insane. I mean, give me a break. Who does that? But you know what? If you are currently in the situation and you feel unable, you feel like you can't break it off, think about it. Think about why you're doing this. Why are you in the situation in the first place? What draws you to this person? Is there something specific about them that draws you to them? Is there something specific about them that's endearing to you? If that's the case, then let's try to harness on that and let's try to break the sex cycle. If it's just the fact that you want to have sex with this person, I mean, this can only lead to destruction. I mean, you got to call it off and you both have to do it because you both know it's not the right thing to do. I mean, when we live a lie, it's one thing, but when we live a lie that you know that it can be painfully destructive to all parts of the family, it's not a good thing. And I know that sometimes you get into these situations and they're so fast and they start off and it's just so crazy and it's like an earthquake. It just happens and you're, oh my gosh, you get all wrapped up in it and you get whisked away into the whole feeling and the emotion and you get so drawn into it that you just have that whirlwind of emotions. But yet you got to stop and sit there and say, okay, what am I doing with my life? What am I trying to get out of this? And does this make any sense? Because if you're just bored, you got to find another hobby. You know, let's talk now about the fourth category, the fourth type of affair. The fourth type is the roughest type. It's the most critical type. It's the one that can normally get to everybody. It can definitely get under your skin and it can change your life. It can change your whole life. It can change everything in a split second. It's called the mind-body affair. The mind-body affair is the whole package. When you meet somebody and you love their mind and you get along and you're consciously hanging out and you're talking and you're able to communicate with one another and you have amazing conversations and you get deep and you get very interested and you can communicate and you have a great open communication and the sex is amazing. Oh, the double threat affair. This is the one that gets most people. This is the one that most people, when they get into, either do one of two things. They either stay with their spouse and think about this affair for the rest of their life, or they leave their spouse and connect with this person. There's two sides to that coin. The reason like some people get into this type of relationship, this type of affair, is I don't think they ever meant to. I don't think they ever mean to go out there and meet somebody that has all this going on. I think that sometimes the sex only, right? The sex only can lead to the mind-body affair. I think that sometimes friendships, when left unchecked, can lead to a mind-body affair as well. Think about it. Friendships that you've known for a long time, people that you hang around all the time, and then one night something just a little different happens. Long silent pause. Interesting. Things change. And you might have been friends with this person for years. And now the sexual component is added in. And you've always been able, easy to talk to, always able to communicate, always entertaining, always fun, always having a great time. And then you add the second dimension in. What happens next? And I think that's interesting because when people go through the mind-body affair, it normally scares the crap out of people. Because they were expecting just to have some sex, just to have a little bit of fun. I wasn't in it for the long haul. I thought there was more to it. But I think a lot of times this happens from work components, people at work that you're close to, and this happens from friends. I don't think that you just go into having just a sexual relationship and this takes place. I think it can morph into that. But I think usually in these affairs, it starts as a friendship. It starts as a long time knowledge of the person. You're around them often. You know them. You actually have inside jokes. You laugh. And this can become the mind-body affair. And this is the whole package. Way different from the sex only. Completely different from revenge. And completely different from a family affair. I mean, honestly, this is the one that can cause a divorce. This is the one that can cause somebody to wonder for the rest of their life if they made the right choice. And I think that we have to step back in the situation, though, and realize that when it feels like that, is it honestly that? Because the mind-body affair can feel like the whole package, right? It can feel like everything is right there. This is what I've been looking for. This is it. This is starstruck. This is soulmate. But yet you're not living together. You're not dealing with the woes of life. You're not dealing with a real honest relationship because you can always go home back to your spouse and they do too. Think about it because it's kind of still in fairy tale. because it's the best of the best of the best. You're not seeing anything else but the best of that person. And any relationship, when the best is always being shown, will always be good. I mean, you have to think about it. What happens when the chips are down? What happens if you've been married for 10 years? Is it going to be the same? And I think that you can't compare apples and oranges because you never know. That particular relationship could last for a year. You don't know. And so when you take the risk and have a mind-body affair, you have to weigh the pros and cons. And you also have to think about your current relationship. What is offered in that relationship? But better yet, can you take the energy that you're harnessing in this affair, put it into your existing relationship, and can you better that relationship? When we return, we're talking about the reasons why people have extramarital affairs and affairs. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the 6 reasons why they have affairs and what to be aware of. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we've been talking about the 4 categories of affairs. And right before the break, I was talking about the mind-body affair. That's the toughest, the roughest, the one that's just the ultimate. For some people, the one they never want to find. For other people, the one that they're looking for. I mean, when you're in a relationship and you end up having a mind-body affair, this is a quandary. What do you do? I mean, and we start comparing apples and oranges, and it's funny how the human condition seems to not be able to love 2 people at one time because it's always wanting to compare and contrast. So when somebody has a mind-body affair, they start finding faults with their spouse. They start trying to find faults with the affair. And I'll be honest with you, it ends 2 ways. One, the affair, well, actually 3 ways. It could continue for a long period of time and eventually put a rift between both relationships. 2, the person that's having the mind-body affair ends up divorcing their spouse and gets with the person they had the affair. Now, it can either work very well and they've met their soulmate, or it could be an illusion and they're going to get divorced again when they meet their new mind-body affair person later on. Or the other person decides to step up to the plate and decides, I'm not going to divorce my spouse. I'm going to end this relationship, however, and I'm going to try to work within my relationship and try to make this work. However, every other day, I'm about to probably think about this person in the back of my mind and wonder how they're doing and what would have happened if I would have married them. All of this is a can of worms that has opened up when we begin to have affairs. So let's talk about the reasons why we have affairs, the reasons why people have affairs in the first place, because we have the 4 categories. We know what they are. We know that it's only sex. It begins with only sex. We know that it's revenge affair. We know it's a family affair. And we know it's the mind-body affair. So let's talk about the reasons why we have affairs. The first reason is we're looking for something. We are honestly looking for something. Something's missing in our life, we feel, and we want to fill that void. How do we do it? Instead of looking within ourselves to try to figure out what we can do to fill our own void within ourselves, we look outside of ourselves and find someone else who can. It's like when you have a void and you're dealing with some issues, and instead of trying to figure out the real issue, you just eat more. That bag of cereal, that box of cereal, all that stuff looks good. That big bar of chocolate, that looks good too. You know, maybe instead of eating, maybe I drink my way to happiness. For some of us, finding someone else might be the missing key. But I think a lot of times we cut ourselves short when we do this because we confine it into an affair. I mean, I think that when we're looking for something, we need to first look within ourselves and figure out what's really honestly missing, if anything. Because I think that when we add an affair to the situation, we add chaos. We add another dimension, another layer. We add a lot more drama. Is that what's missing in your life? Do you feel like you're missing out on drama? Do you feel like you're missing out on things that you don't want to miss out on? I mean, I understand that when you watch TV, we start wondering, man, my life seems boring. My life seems not so great. All these people seem to be having all this fun, flying around in private jets, having sex with all these random people. And am I going to have sex? Is this going to be the last person I ever have sex with? Am I doomed to this? Are all the good-looking years of my life going to be washed away with this marriage? And don't lie. A lot of you are out there thinking about this right now, because some people sit there and look and they go, I love my spouse, but really, is this the last sex I'm going to have? I mean, they're great and all, but, you know, variety is the spice of life. And I think we have to sit there and realize, what is it that's missing in your life? What is it that you feel is honestly missing in your life? And I think we need to capture that and realize that you might be able to find it, but you need to know where you're looking and what kind of stuff you're going to actually get into in the process. The second reason why people have affairs is for validation. People like to be validated. They like to be validated. They like to know that they're good, like things are good. They like to know that they're good people. They like to know that they're sexy, that they're attractive. They like to know that, you know, somebody thinks they're attractive. They like to know that somebody's interested in them. And if they're not getting validation at home, that could be a clear sign of the reason why people have an affair. Maybe they need more validation. Maybe they're getting validation, but it's not enough. Maybe they need more. And, you know, nobody can sit there and say how much validation is the right amount of validation for somebody. But I think you have to look within yourself and realize that you, too, can validate yourself. It's not all about other people validating you. You can do the same. I mean, think about it. If you need validation constantly, do you need somebody patting you on the back, constantly telling you how great you are all the time? If you do, what do you do when nobody's around? I mean, sexual validation is a good thing, especially if you're not getting a lot of it. But maybe it's time to step up to plate and ask your spouse what's going on. You know, on the same coin, you can get validation from yourself. I mean, I found that a lot of my clients who look for validation outside of their marriage and sex have a tendency of getting down and depressed based on the fact that they thought that was going to make them validated and feel good about themselves, when actually they actually feel more insecure and more vulnerable. People feel more vulnerable because they don't know how that other person's feeling. They don't know what the other person's thinking in their head. You know, do they still find me attractive? I haven't heard from them. What are they doing? Are they out with somebody else? And while they're with their spouse the whole time, they're wondering what's going on with the person they're having sex with on the side. Because their validator is not answering the phone. The validator is not around. So what do? You go find another person to validate you? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, you want to be the town bicycle? What's happening? Point is that if you're looking for validation in sex, we need to sit there and figure out what's missing in your life. Because I think that it's pure self-validation. And I think it's being able to sit there and look at yourself and say, I'm a good person. I have strengths. I have things that other people, you know, look up to me for. You know, if you want more validation from your spouse, be honest. I mean, you know, unless things have totally changed since the time that you got married, I think there's something to think about that. I mean, unless the spouse has completely changed, doesn't show love as much, is more reserved, doesn't seem to want to have sex very often, it's become kind of an issue, I think it's time to sit down and have a conversation. And I think there's definitely a way you can have the conversation in a conscious, nice, happy, truthful way. I don't think that you have to throw things in their face and yell and scream at them, but I think in the same dynamic, you have to be honest. I mean, if you're looking around looking for sexual validation, we need to think about why. We need to figure out what is missing. And if it's the sex or if it's the love, if you're not getting enough hugs, if you're not getting enough kisses, if nobody's holding your hand anymore at home, if you feel like you've taken second fiddle to the kids, it's time to bring it up. I mean, because I don't think that maybe you're in it alone. I think that maybe there might be, your spouse might feel a little bit of that too. And if they don't mind read. If you got kids, it's hard enough to have a clear thought, much less to mind read what the other person's thinking. The next reason why people have affairs, boredom, pure boredom. I'm bored, therefore I'm going to sabotage my life. Nobody actually says that, but that's kind of what they do. I'm going to put a monkey wrench in everything that's going on. I'm going to make my life super, super, super difficult. And I'm going to see if I don't drown. Anybody out there had an affair recently? You know how hard it is to keep an affair and a marriage at the same time? Wow. It's a second job. You put yourself on the back burner because you're always having to worry. You got one person to take care of and another person to take care of. Both people normally very different and sometimes funny enough, sometimes extremely like. And there you are running from place to place hoping that you can keep up. And in the process having no time for yourself. But you know what? You're no longer bored. Your work is suffering and everything else is suffering, but the boredom's gone. I mean, to me, I'd rather be a little bored then blow up my whole life. And I've seen people just literally combust because they didn't want to be bored, because they wanted more entertainment, because they wanted life to be more interesting. An affair does add interest. It adds another component to life. It makes things more sizzly, more enticing. But how good is that on the psyche? How good is that to your lifestyle? And you can check boredom as well. Like, I'm not bored. I'm very, very, very overworked. But I like it, and I like doing what I do, and I love helping my clients, my patients, and I love being on the air and talking to the world and giving insight and perspective, because it matters to me, because I want to better the world, and I want other people to understand and to know that they're not alone. And this is one of the main reasons I did this show, is that there's a lot of people out there that have questions, but they can't ask them because they don't want to be judged. They're scared of being judged. I mean, your friends, if you tell them that you're having an affair, your friends might go crazy. They might start making judgment calls on you, maybe not to your face, but maybe behind your back. They might start treating you differently. This show talks about the things that we don't talk about with our friends, with anyone. And that's why I wanted to do this show on the four types of affairs and the reasons why we have affairs, because you need to know that you're not alone. Things happen. You're not a bad person because you had an affair. You're not going to hell. However, we got to get it right. And in order to be authentic, you got to figure out who you are, get your values straight, and also figure out your life a little better. So we're looking for something. We need validation. We're bored. The other option, the number four reason why people have affairs, number four, the grass seems greener over there. When we look at people and we wonder, I wonder what a relationship would be like with them. I wonder if I just like sabotage myself. I wonder if my marriage is totally screwed up. Maybe that person would be awesome to hang out with. You know, you start hanging out with them. How's the sex? Is the grass really greener? Probably not. Now you just have another slew of issues that you didn't have before. Or you have the same slew of issues, but now you have two sets of issues with two different women, or two sets of issues with two different men. So now you just maximized your issue base. Interesting. The benefits go down and the costs go up. But a lot of times that's because we're human. We want to know, did I choose wisely? Did I choose poorly? The fifth reason why we have affairs is that we feel currently unloved in our current situation. When we are feeling unloved and uncared for, we go look for someone who loves and cares for us. And I think this is the number one reason why people have affairs, is they don't feel loved. They don't feel cared for. They feel kind of like kicked to the curb. Maybe they feel that, you know, there's not enough time in the current relationship to be loved. Some people just want a lot of love, you know, and I'm not talking about y'all out there that need a lot of love. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying sometimes in current relationships, when you're feeling dismissed, unloved, unrequited, can lead someone to start thinking about greener pastures, perhaps meeting someone that can love them. And if you're in a marriage right now and you feel like you haven't really been loving or showing your spouse you love them, start doing it. Don't take your spouse for granted. Don't sit there and think that they're always going to be around, because they might not. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist here, but a lot of times we take for granted what we have, and it's not a good thing to do. Show your spouse you love them, even if it's 10, 20 years in, 30 years in. Show them you love them and you care. Be there for them. Because that could be the difference between them going out in an affair and having an affair and them not. That's important. Because when people aren't feeling loved, they go outside of the marriage. And last but not least, number six, they want to have more sex. One of the biggest reasons why people have affairs is because they don't feel like they're getting enough sex at home and they want more sex. Most people see sex as love. And so that kind of interchangeably goes with that, is if they're feeling unloved, more men than women feel that if they're having less sex, that they're being unloved. And so if they're having less sex, they might feel unloved. They feel like you don't care. And so remember that. Remember, if you don't want your spouse going outside of the marriage, maybe it's time to reevaluate your sex life. And I understand 20 years in, it's not all new and cool. I understand it's not all the latest greatest. I mean, y'all can remember back to before you were married, how crazy y'all were in sex and in bed. crazy adventurous stuff back then. I know that it might not be the same as that, but you can work to create more of a positive environment to getting together and having more sex and more relations in your life, because it's important. Because you know what happens is if they can't get it there, they'll get it somewhere else. I mean, it's the same as you going to the store. If they ran out of milk, you're going to go to another store if you want milk. Think about it. And it might not happen overnight, but when someone feels unrequited and not getting what they want, they might look outside the marriage. Some won't, because they're very loyal and because they're in love. However, they still might feel resentful because they're not getting what all they need. So remember, a marriage and a relationship is a two-way street. You give and you get. You give and you receive. And remember that I know that as time goes by, things are not as new and as wild and as crazy as they were. But you can still make it fun. And remember that this is a judgment-free zone. Perspectives has always been that way. And if you have any questions or thoughts, go online to AshleyBurgess.com. Ashley Burgess, BERGES.com. Go to contact page, click on that, and send me a personal email, and I will answer any questions that you have privately. Because I think that everybody needs to realize that they're not in it alone. Great show. Look forward to our next show and Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time in three shakes.